welcome to the Elevated Visibility Podcast, the podcast for female founders who are looking for more than just easy marketing tips and feel-good strategy and craving deep connection. I'm your host, Nina Gibson, holistic SEO expert and visibility enthusiast who is hell-bent on giving women a voice and a platform to use it. In this space, we chat all things SEO and marketing for your brand and business, but we also peel back the layers and the bullshit and dive deep into what it means to feel visible as business owners, women, moms, and more. If you're ready for holistic marketing strategy mixed in with some soulful storytelling, this podcast is for you. Welcome. Hello, hello. Welcome back to season one of the Elevated Visibility Podcast. This is episode 7, I believe. And today I'm so excited. We are having our very first guest on the podcast. My very good friend, Kathy Mead Fronheiser, is here. And we are going to chat about so many amazing things. But before we get started, I want to tell you a little bit about Kathy. She is a wellness coach for busy women over 40. She is passionate about helping you create better health through fun, doable, and sustainable habits. She is a great listener. I can attest to that. She's an amazing listener and genuinely wants you to be successful. She has a master's degree in exercise science and has been a certified health coach for over 15 years. She has worked with all kinds of people, and what she has learned is that each of us have ways we can make small improvements to achieve big results in our lives. Unfortunately, these small steps aren't sexy, but they do work. If you think it's impossible to be toned and strong at any age, Kathy is going to prove you wrong. Welcome, Kathy. I am so glad that you're here.
Thanks, Nina. Happy to be here.
Yay. All right. So Kathy and I have, this is our second time recording this podcast, but we made it. We're here. So Kathy, I'm going to just jump right in and tell me a little bit about you, your background. We heard about it in the bio, but I want to hear a little bit about you and sort of how you got started in your entrepreneurship journey.
Sure. Well, I feel like I've always kind of had an interest in entrepreneurship. I grew up with parents who own their own business, although that was sort of more out of necessity than not, which is a whole nother story. But anyway, so it's just always been something that has interested me. So I started 8 years ago but I didn't really know how to do that or make that work, because honestly, having a brick and mortar scared the bejesus out of me, because I just felt like there was a lot of overhead with that. And it also just really locks you in. I felt like, you know, that again, these are just perceptions I had. I'm not, they may or may not be true, but my perception was that having a brick and mortar was a large investment, you know, money investment. And so I started in network marketing about 8 or 9 years ago. That was my first foray, if you will, into having my own business, still working full time as a health coach for a healthcare company. So I did that on the side. It, you know, I struggled with it really clicking for me. I mean, I knew all the things I needed to do, but I just didn't feel a lot of motivation or passion behind doing them. And so a little over, well, it's, gosh, was it 2016 maybe, was when I opened actually a brick and mortar. I had an opportunity in Nashville, Tennessee, where I was living at the time, had a friend who was a personal trainer, and she had a very small space that she was had been renting for years. Well, she and her husband had decided to move, and she knew, luckily, had just recently talked with her about personal training and just how she got into it and that sort of thing. And so I was top of mind for her. So she reached out to me and said, hey, you know, we're moving. Are you interested in this space? And so long story short, ended up renting that space. It was on Music Row in Nashville with another trainer, because as a trainer, it's not like you're in there every hour of every day. So we sort of shared the space. And I did that for a few years. But what I realized was I did, again, going back to not loving the brick and mortar concept and really just wanting to be more online. So for the past couple of years, I have been health coaching people one-on-one, virtually or in person. I mean, if they're local, great. But if not, that's fine too, obviously. And then also leading groups of predominantly women with exercise, strength training, HIIT workouts, and also nutrition coaching as well. So I don't know if that's
amazing. So for those who haven't checked out Kathy's hula hoop reel yet on Instagram. After this podcast interview, you need to go and check out. Actually, all of her reels are amazing. So that's, I love that story. So you and I actually talked about this in the first interview, but let's backtrack a little bit to the deli story, because I know that's what your parents owned, right? And you also have a really interesting background. So your grandfather, your grandparents are Lebanese, or remind me about that part, because I was so like, oh, that's so cool. It's such a cool backstory.
My grandmother is Lebanese, she's passed at this point, my father's mother. So he's half Lebanese. I'm a quarter. Although it's funny how, and you can appreciate this as a parent probably, how sometimes like one kid gets all of the genes from one side of the family or something like that, you know? You know, growing up, my mother always said, she just looks like her father, just spit her right out, you know, and which is hilarious to me. I'm from the South, if you can't tell. So that to me sounds like a very Southern thing to say. But my mother, who's born and raised in Georgia and has lived there her whole life. But anyway, so part Lebanese. So my sister is as well. And it's funny, as she's gotten older, she and I look more alike. Mm. So that's kind of fun, because there was a period of time, many years, where we didn't look anything alike. She was blonde. Now she's brunette. Anyway.
That's but, so funny.
But yeah, so my parents, so my dad went to, was in Vietnam, and he learned there how to be an air traffic controller. So that was kind of the skill. He didn't graduate from college. So that was like his college, basically. And when he came back from Vietnam, he got a job as an air traffic controller. And then when I was, I don't know, maybe 6 years old or so, this has been early 80s, all the air traffic controllers, they're government employees, not employed by an airline or an airport or something like that. They went on strike. And it's when Ronald Reagan was president, and he fired all of them. And I like to tell people, and I've been a Democrat ever since. Because all I know about Ronald Reagan is that he fired my father. You know what I'm saying? And obviously that was a super stressful moment. You know, I can appreciate it now as a 45-year-old woman that, you know, my mother was not working. She was raising two little kids at home. This is obviously pre, like, I'm going to have a job online. I mean, you know, that stuff didn't exist back then. So she had a degree in education. Anyway, and so now their main source of income was gone, right? So I think they were just like, what are we going to do? So there was a deli close to the airport. And I'm assuming that's kind of how they were familiar with it, because my dad, you know, went to the airport every day to work, and it was for sale. And it had been, it was a thriving, you know, little deli. It was just the man who owned it was ready to retire. So my dad borrowed, or I don't know if he ever paid it back or not. Actually, I should ask him that question. But anyway, got money from my grandparents, which is actually an interesting story in itself, because my grandparents, meaning my mom's parents, my grandfather told my father, so this was his father-in-law, told him not to go on strike, but he did it anyway. But I think at that time, and I don't know this for sure, but I think at that time it was like, you know, we're either all in this together or we're not. Sure. Like you couldn't just like one, you know, it didn't work that way. So anyway, but then that was the same grandfather and grandmother that gave my parents money to purchase this deli. Because at the end of the day, my sister and I are the only set of grandkids on both sides of our family. Like I have no first cousins.
Yep.
And so at the end of the day, you know, he was probably doing it for his grandbabies. You know what I mean?
Absolutely,
so, and his daughter, so who was married to my father. Anyway, so they got the money, they purchased the deli, and they ended up having it for 15 years. I mean, they just really, and they worked next to each other. I mean, if you imagine like a Subway, it was basically like an independently owned Subway, you know. So my parents were literally working next to each other for like 15 years. I cannot believe they actually survived. Their marriage survived. Yeah. Then my father got rehired by the Clinton administration to be an air traffic controller. Because you have to think, like, he had all these years towards a government pension.
Sure.
Through going to Vietnam, and then also the years that he did work as an air traffic controller that were just sitting there, you know, that he couldn't, like, access. Mm-hmm. So he went back to work as an air traffic controller in Puerto Rico, which is a whole nother story. He ended up being down there for 7 or 8 years. They never knew. Not, and they did not know that going in. They, meaning my parents.
Yeah.
And then eventually he was able to transfer to the Atlanta airport, which is where I'm from, in a suburb of Atlanta. So he basically was able to come home for good and then work a few more years and then eventually, you know, retire. But yeah, so they sold the deli when he went back to work as an air traffic controller in Puerto Rico. But my mother, I remember for years after that, my mother was like, we should have never sold the deli. Cause I think it just, she didn't think she could run it by herself. And I think she totally could have. And I think she realized that later, right? You know, too late.
Yep.
But yep. Anyway, you know, everything worked out.
Yeah. I love
now
that. So like
now they're pickleball fanatics in their 70s.
So cute. I bet your parents are the cutest. So like you grew up though, like that's a really like that entrepreneur. Yeah. You had that frame of like reference and you saw your parents running a business side by side. Yes. So I think that has an imprint on you, right? And you're like, okay, my parents did this. So just so you guys know, Kathy and I met in a mastermind, and something we joke about all the time is that neither one of us are Enneagram 3s, and everybody who does business online is an Enneagram 3. So knowing
all the successful ones.
All the successful
ones.
That's
what it feels like.
Yeah, I know. It really does. But knowing that background and understanding, like seeing your parents do that, that must have had such a big impact on sort of you, right? Even if it's like one of those things, being like, my parents did this. I'm going to do this someday too. And I love that. I love that whole backstory. I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
So coming from sort of the health and wellness space, which is such a big space, right? And I love your approach specifically because as somebody who's turning 40 in a little over a month, like I think sometimes like we get forgotten, us old folk, but you know, I think that sometimes older women get and our needs change, right? The things that we need change and things like that.
Your priorities change.
And your priorities change. Yes. Yeah, for sure. And well, because you kind of, for me, age is just a number. And I know you sort of take that approach too, but you also have to think, okay, like you're kind of at the second half, right? Like this is the second half. Like you've got your intermission and it's like, what am I going to do here? You know, what am I going to do? So thinking about the health and wellness industry and your little corner of the world specifically, what is one thing that you would love to see change or perception that you would like to sort of see change about how people think about health and wellness for women over 40?
Well, just that it's that your best days are behind you and that you can't make any improvements at this point. I mean, there are women that maybe up until this point have not done anything for their health and wellness, whether that's because it's just not something they grew up with. You know, if they didn't grow up playing sports or they hated PE or whatever, fill in the blank, and they just never, that's just not part of their day. Or, you know, what's interesting is women who have always been thin-ish. I mean, you know, their whole life. That's always an interesting client because they've just never, quote, had to exercise. Now, exercise alone is not going to give you, you know, drop you down to a size 2 or whatever your goal is. But I promise that can be a whole nother discussion. But it's just if you have had that your whole life where you've just naturally been a smaller or thinner or whatever person, and all of a sudden, it feels like all of a sudden you have this weight creeping up, whether it's in the midsection or whatever, and you literally have no idea like what to do because exercise, having anything to do with watching what you eat has literally never been a part of your like repertoire, if that makes sense, or your schedule. Yeah. You know, so, but what I really think is important is knowing that no matter your age, you can always make improvements to your health, whether that be weight loss, if that's a goal, improving strength, strengthening your bones, improving blood work numbers, you know, improving energy. I think there's just this assumption that after a certain age, it just all goes downhill for everyone, men and women. You know, and I think instead of looking at it that way, just appreciate that things are different, but that doesn't mean they're bad or going downhill. It's just, okay, what are the shifts we need to make to keep our energy high, to stay healthy, and what do we need to accept or make ourselves crazy? You know, I think that's important as well, you know, because it's like, you're probably not going to look like you did before you had kids. Most women, some do, and good for them, but most women. And so I think part of it is just
woman.
I think accepting that is step one, because if not, you're just going to be miserable, you know, and nobody's got time for that.
Nobody has time. I think that's so true, that it's a mindset shift too, right? Like I have to accept. And my mom was that woman that you're talking about. She never really had to, she never exercised. She still doesn't. But then she hit around my age and she gained a ton of weight and she's never lost it. And so like, I think, and that's really hard for her as somebody who was literally made fun of because she was so thin growing up and now has some, and I mean, she's got a lot of metabolic stuff. She has a thyroid issue and there's other stuff going on, but she's not somebody. And growing up, people don't realize maybe, but like, you know, when my mom grew up in Germany, exercise is not approached to, it still isn't really in Europe the same way as Americans approach like fitness. It's much different, the mentality. So like, It's not like my mom, you know, ever really exercised. Apparently she roller skated, which I would love to have seen evidence of that.
Like, I
can't
even
begin to picture. I need video, which didn't exist. But my dad's like, oh yeah. I'm like, what?
That's
so
awesome.
I think that I know. But you said something really important and I think is acceptance of, you know, and that's been something that's very, very hard for me. I have to accept I'm not going to probably fit into the jeans, which I still have, that I fit in when I was 25. And I just like, you know, and I'm like, I've never been like a traditionally like, you know, people wouldn't look and be like, oh, Nina's so skinny. Not that I think that, but, you know, I've always had curves and more athletic build. But when I was 25 and how I look now at almost 40, it's different, right? But I think embracing that and acknowledging it is really important. So I love that you said that because acceptance is a huge, huge piece of it.
Yes. Well, because I think that comes to like your mental health too, because if you're just constantly berating yourself and constantly, you know, not allowing yourself to eat certain things or just over-exercise, I mean, it just, it's, it can mess up your hormone. I mean, there's physical repercussions to that. Yeah. But it also is just like, you know, you're just not enjoying your life. And at the end of the day, we only get to go around one time. And so, you know, yes, there are things that we can do to be stronger, to be healthier, or fill in the blank, whatever your goal is, but also starting from a place of acceptance and having what we call non-scale victories, you know, instead of everything, you know, weighing, no pun intended, on what the scale says. You know, having other measures of success for yourself, whether, you know, and yes, that can be measurements or fitting into a certain pair of jeans, maybe not the ones you wore when you were 25, but the ones that, you know, are just a little snug right now, you know, whatever. They could also be, you know, like when I've worked with women like over 60, it's, oh my gosh, I can pick up my grandkids and no problem. I can help my kids move home.
Oh, I love that.
You know, like things like that. I mean, maybe not pick up like, you know, a sofa, but you know, just be able to help, right?
Yeah.
Not feel like just totally unable, feeling strong and healthy and able, because, you know, I always say it's this cruel joke that we work for the years of our lives where we're the most healthy and then we retire and, or a lot of people do, maybe not those in the, you know, entrepreneurship space, but you know what I mean? A traditional, you know, retire at 65 and then all of a sudden your health is starts to go downhill because maybe you didn't take care of yourself. And then those years that you've worked so hard to get to are like for naught a little bit.
Because
you can't do the trip or do the whatever, you know, whatever you want to do. So it's unfortunate. So I really want people to stay healthy. Yeah, stay healthy as they move towards retirement so that when you get to 65 or whatever, you know, you can, and your kids are out of the house and they're doing their own thing and they're having their own kids or whatever they're doing. And you are now free again to roam about the world. Like, go do it. You know, don't be stuck at home because your health is poor. You know,
100%. My kids are a big motivation for me for staying healthy. And like, I don't, you know, obviously myself too, but being able to be active and like ski and swim and we're going hiking and all of those things is a big, it's a big motivator for me.
Yeah, for sure.
So like, let's talk about the whole kid thing a little bit. So
let's do.
So Kathy and I met in a mastermind. I think I mentioned it. And when I think at that time, when we did our rounds, you were the only one in the group without kids. And something you and I had talked about a little bit like privately is just what it's like to do business online in a very heavily dominated sort of mompreneur space. and how that feels sometimes. And you so graciously said, I would definitely talk about that on the podcast, because it's something, you know, and you're not the only one who's brought that up to me. There's a couple of other women that I work with who don't have kids, and sometimes they feel like, you know, it's a heaviness. Mm-hmm. And I would just sort of love to hear your thoughts on that, especially in the health and wellness space, where I feel like in network marketing and things like that, that's very heavy.
Yes.
Mom dominated. Talk to me about it.
Yeah. Well, first of all, what's interesting is I really didn't even start thinking about it till like a year or so ago. I don't know. I guess I didn't have kids, and that's just where I was, who I am. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I didn't think much about it until I started realizing like, oh, they're like, if I wanted to go on podcasts, which is something I would love to do, obviously, as I'm on yours and I was on another friend's yesterday, there's a lot of mom focused or mompreneur, as you say, or mom boss, or I don't know, whatever, podcasts. Mm-hmm. And I guess I just never realized it until I started like, oh, I guess I can't apply to that one. And oh, I guess I can't apply to that one either. You know, so, and it's not that my message would not be a good one for moms. I mean, I have clients that are moms, right? I have clients that aren't moms. I have male clients.
Yeah, exactly.
And I do feel like I feel like I can't say that I don't have time, or I'm struggling to have to find time to do XYZ with my business, because there are women who are raising children and having, you know, and trying to get their business things done too. So I feel like I can't possibly say that I can't find time. But what I've realized is, you know, everybody's life is their life, right? So even if I don't have kids, there's other things that I want to spend time doing. And that was a choice, you know, it was your choice to have children. It was my choice not to. And that doesn't mean that I should have to work harder or work more hours or whatever, you know, and I find that to be true a lot also in a lot of times in the corporate world. Like, how many times is a woman without children, like, is she the one that's asked to work late because, you don't have kids, you don't have kids you have to go pick up or get home to or whatever, that sort of thing. I mean, I have friends that's happened to, because it's interesting too how, like, you know, you have friends that are like you, right? So I have a lot of friends who don't have kids, you know, and aren't married also. That's a whole nother thing, because I didn't get married till I was almost. Because I didn't, you know this, but I didn't get married till I was almost 40, and I'm 45 now. So I have spent more of my life as a single person than as a married person. And so I still have a lot of girlfriends that are not married, never been married, you know, so they don't have kids. I mean, you can obviously not be married and have kids, but like, never married, no kids, like, just do it, living their life, you know? And it's just an interesting perspective, because I think women with kids, maybe they don't even, they forget that those kind of women are out there. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But what I also think is interesting as a business owner is, you know, we talk about finding your niche and really niching down, and that at first it's scary, right? Because you feel like you're turning away people, or you could possibly be turning away people, but really it makes you kind of a quote expert for that niche, right? So I have often considered, like, do I need to niche down to like women over 40 without kids, you know, or meaning that that's who I would be talking to when I do stories or whatever. That doesn't obviously mean that if someone with kids wants to work with me, I'm going to say no. But I feel like that is scary, because there are, like you said, I feel like there's maybe more moms than not. I don't know. I'd love to know that.
I don't know. I would love to know that too. Yeah.
But there are obviously plenty of women out there who do not have kids, or the kids are out of the house, right? So they're kind of like, you know, they have that time again. But anyway, but just going back to, I think, you know, being okay with not, you know, having kids, and that still means that my time is my time. And so if you have to do something, you know, because it's your kids thing that you have to commit to, well, I have to do something because it's what I want to do with my life, because I made the choice not to have children so that I could go, you know, ride my bike at 9 a.m. in the morning or whatever, you know, or in the evening or on a all day Saturday if I want to. And that still doesn't mean that I should be working all the time just because I don't have kids. I think that's sometimes where the, you know, like, how are you not getting this done, Kathy? You don't even have kids to take care of. And I'm just like, yeah, but I still want to like live my life, you know, and because I didn't have kids. So guess what? I get to do these things, you know, I don't know. But yeah, just feeling not included or feeling like misunderstood. Maybe that's another way to put it. But I've never felt that way from any of the mastermind ladies.
No,
at all.
No, of course not. Yeah.
But I do think once I started, it was more apparent to me when I started thinking about going on podcasts and being like, mm-hmm. oh, well, this is like a mom specific podcast. Or, you know, in business, we talk about going into like groups in our community on Facebook to market our services somehow, or, you know, whatever, you know, thoughtfully comment on something to get your name out there. Well, there's probably a whole, so I live in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and I'm sure there is a lot of women's groups on Facebook, I'm sorry, not women's, mom groups on Facebook or in person, right? That I'm not even, it's like this whole group of women that I'm not even reaching out to, at least in that way, because I'm not a mom. So, and sometimes I do, like I keep my mouth shut because it's like, well, I'm not going to assume, and maybe that's the Enneagram 9 in me as well, is I will never, I am not a mom, right? So I don't know what that's like to have that kind of responsibility. I can only imagine what it's like, only imagine, right? You know, based on, you know, talking to people, my sister who has kids, she's probably the one I talk to the most, my niece and nephew. But, you know, I can only imagine what that responsibility feels like, is like, the amount of time it takes up. But I also know plenty of women who are successful in business or in whatever they choose to be successful in that have kids. So, you know, somebody figures it out, but it does add an added layer of challenge. Absolutely. You know, that I don't have. And I appreciate that. So I never make assumptions that I'm going to tell you how to spend your time. Like, I'm going to have you tell me what your life looks like, and I'm going to help you make it work. Like, the end.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of who you are. But I have no opinions on like, well, you do this with your kids, you shouldn't be doing it. I never do that.
No, of course. I mean, I don't even do that. And I do have kids. Yeah. But I think that this is a really, like, a really good topic. And I feel like we could probably talk about it forever, because I feel like so many of us have a pillar of community and inclusivity as sort of one of the backbones of our businesses or foundational component of our businesses. And I think sometimes this gets overlooked in the women supporting women. And of course, like, if your target audience is moms, your target audience is moms. There's nothing wrong with that, obviously. But I think for somebody who's like in your space, where of course you can help moms, I can definitely see how you might be like hesitant, because you're like, well, you know, I don't, but I think for the record, you should 100% target moms. I love working with you. I don't think that you not being one impacts our relationship or the way we work together or your advice or the things that you give. But I get that. I think, and I think that this is one of those things where women are damned if they do, damned if they don't. It's just, you know, so, but I appreciate you talking about it, because I think it's important to recognize that, you know, there are spaces where sometimes people, like, it's a thing, and, you know, maybe something to be more mindful of. And I thought about that too with my own business, because, you know, I am a mom. I'm somebody though who does not share a lot about my kids on Instagram because of various different reasons. And so like that for me, you know, I talk about it. I'm a mom, but it's definitely not a focal point of my business. So, but other people, that is, you know, it is a focal point of their business. So,
and that's smart. And going back to community real quick, because it just made me think of something. I think there are places for moms to have community together, obviously, like that's out there. That's not what I offer. For me, I'm offering more a space for you as a woman to have community, which I think is even more valuable if you're a mom.
Agreed.
Right? So that's really the value, is come to my group or me one-on-one, however you want to do it, but, and just, who are you, the woman, you, Nina, or whoever, you know, like, let's talk about you. What are your goals? What are, and for a lot of moms, they don't really, I don't say they've forgotten themselves, but they're so understandably so focused on their kids. That's, you know, for those 18 years, you know, that's your probably number one priority, I would assume, you know, as it probably should be. But, you know, don't forget that you're a person too, and you have goals as well. And we want to take care of you so that you can be a better mom. And so that when these kids fly the coop, you're still there with hobbies and goals that you created for yourself so that you can continue to enjoy your life for, like you mentioned, that second half of your life, right? Because it's coming, you know? I just think it's important to find that community that works for you. You can find the mom-only community, right? Because you need that. Mm-hmm. And then you can find the community for you as a woman that supports that part of you so that you can build, you know, your hobbies and your goals for yourself so that you are ready for that second half of your life to be amazing.
Yeah, I love that. I love that so much. Okay, so Kathy, where can all of the amazing women listening to this podcast find you to join this community? Because I feel like everybody could benefit from having you lead the way into health, into the second half of your life. So tell us.
Sure. So I'm hang out on Instagram. I'm at Kathy_Mead_Fronheiser. And then my website, all new, is KathyMeadFronheiser.com.
Perfect. And we'll put it all in the show notes too. So you can find Kathy, connect with her. She's amazing. Go check out her reel. Seriously, the hula hoop. It's amazing. And thank you so much, Kathy, for joining. This was such an awesome conversation. All right.
All right, friend. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too. Thanks everyone for listening. I hope the sun is shining wherever you are. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Elevated Visibility Podcast. If you loved it and you want to support the podcast, please share it with others, your family, friends, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. I would appreciate it so, so much. Catch all the latest from me. You can follow me on Instagram at ninagibson.co. Until next time.